September, Year of God, 894. 1. Sir Corin Garvey's townhouse and Royal Palace, City of Manchir, Princedom of Coruscant. Sir Corin Garvey walked into his study, carrying a glass of Chisomian whiskey, and crossed to his desk. He used his free hand to turn up the wick on the oil lamp one of the servants had lit earlier in the evening, and started to set down the whiskey, then stopped abruptly. There was an envelope on his desk. He hadn't left it there. In fact, he'd never seen it before. On the other hand, he did recognize the handwriting. That he'd seen before. Well, he thought after a moment, at least this time there's no broken glass. He finished setting down the whiskey and seated himself. He gazed at the envelope for a few more seconds, then shrugged and picked it up. As the last time, there were several sheets of paper, but instead of the pair of hand-drawn maps which had accompanied the first letter, there were three. Not of secret rooms in monasteries this time, but of the city of Talitha in the earldom of Stormkeep. One was a precisely annotated street map indicating names and addresses. He recognized some of the names already, others he'd never heard of, but he suspected that when he got around to the rest of the letter, he'd find out who they were. The second map was a diagram of Stormhouse, the Earl of Stormkeep's residence, this one marked with neat arrows indicating concealed caches of correspondence and other documentary evidence, and one small suite simply marked the Bishop Executor's rooms. And the third... His eyes lit as he saw the warehouses and followed more neat arrows to the areas in which camouflaged crates, which had arrived in Coruscant by way of Zebediah, had been stored. "You know, I didn't really believe you when you told me about all this, Agent Merlin," he thought, sipping whiskey before he started reading the letter itself. "Oh, I guess I did intellectually, but deep inside... I never really believed there truly was this vast network of Sajans scattered around the world. But..." He looked around the study, looked at the closed and locked glass doors leading to the central garden, thought about the sentries around the townhouse. "I don't see who else could have gotten in here and left this for me." He snorted a laugh, took another sip, then stood and crossed back to the study door. He opened it and looked out at the sentry outside it. "I need some messengers, Corporal."
"Of course, sir. How many?"
"Well, let me see. I need one to Sir Charles Doyle, one to my father, one to Earl Tartarian, and one to Viceroy General Cherman." The corporal's eyes had widened a bit farther with each name, but he only nodded, and Garvey smiled at him. "Tell Major Niklos I said to pick good, reliable men he knows will keep their mouths shut. I'll have notes for them to deliver by the time they can assemble here. Oh, and find Yeoman Alston. I'll want him, and he'll want to be here."
"Yes, sir,"
the sentry said, and dashed off down the hallway. Garvey watched him go, then went and sat behind his desk, pulled several sheets of stationery out of a drawer, dipped a pen, and began writing.
"What's this all about, Corin?"
Sir Rysel Garvey grumbled as he marched into the meeting chamber.
"I'd just settled in for the evening when your man came thundering on the front door."
"I apologize for disturbing you, Father, but something's come up."
"Damn it, you know how I hate those words," the Earl of Anvil Rock groused, crossing to his chair at the council table. "Something has been coming up at the most inconvenient possible moment for the last 2 damned years.
He plunked himself down, leaned back, and regarded his eldest son and the apple of his eye with remarkably scant favor. His august and trusted fellow counselor, Earl Tartarian, chuckled, and Anvil Rock turned his glower upon him.
"I suppose you think this is humorous?" he demanded, his tone irate, although there might have been just a spark of amusement in his eyes. I happen to know that you usually stay up until all hours anyway, instead of going to bed at a sane hour. You probably hadn't even had supper yet when this young jackanapes note reached you. Of course I hadn't, Tartarian soothed. Whatever you like, Rysel. And now, if you've got that out of your system, perhaps we could get down to business? Spoil sport, Anvilrock muttered, but he also turned his attention back to his son. All right, Corin, he said in quite a different tone. What is it?
I just received a note of my own, father, Garvai replied. The one Sajan Merlin warned me I might be receiving.
Ah? Anvilrock sat up straighter, his eyes narrowing. You're certain this is really from one of Merlin's mysterious assistants, Corin?
Tartarian sounded a bit cautious, and Garvai didn't blame him.
I don't see how anyone but another Sajan could have delivered it the way it was delivered, Garvai shrugged. It was on my desk in my locked study when I walked in after dinner, my lord. And there's enough sensitive material in that study that it's under guard day and night. But someone got in, anyway. I'm not going to say it would have been impossible for someone other than a Sajan to pull that off, but it would certainly have been difficult. And Charles? He twitched his head towards the foot of the table, where Charles Doyle was poring over the letter, even as he spoke. Is confident what he's seen so far is genuine. You know we've been doing a little checking of our own ever since Sajan Merlin warned us about this northern conspiracy of his. We haven't wanted to overset any potato carts or step on any of the Sajan's associates' toes, so we haven't pushed too hard. Everything we've turned up, though, is consistent with this letter.
I see. Tartarian looked at Anvilrock. Rysel? If Corin and Charles are satisfied it's genuine, so am I.
Anvilrock's expression was as grim as Tartarian remembered ever having seen it.
And to be honest, I'm just as glad to hear it. I want these bastards, Terrell. I want them badly.